I have watched this brother for several years, and I am so impressed with his humility before God. And what I mean by that is I've seen him grow in the things of God. I've seen him pursue higher education, but he doesn't taunt that. He doesn't wear it as a banner. He's followed the Lord, he and his wife, in obedience and submitted to God and assumed a pastorate to oversee a congregation for a season. And then God would move them. And he would come and fall right back in line, just like this is just, I just went and did what God said. Now I'm back. I'm doing what he's saying now. And then the Lord sent him out again. And he served again. And in both of these situations, there's places where he was called pastor. He functioned as a shepherd, an overseer. But in his humility, when God says, I have another assignment, or that assignment is changing, he, from what I observe outside looking in, that he had no problem taking on a new role. Because what I took from that is that it doesn't matter what I'm doing as long as I know God has called me to do it. And he just follows the Lord. And so I appreciate that. And so I want you to prepare your hearts tonight. I'm going to invite his wife to come and give a brief introduction of our speaker tonight. So would you please receive none other than Sister Cheryl Randall. Amen.
A brief introduction of Earl Randall. I've said it before. He loves the Lord. And he loves the people of God. He wants to see, there's not a person that Earl comes by that he doesn't want to in some kind of way touch by the love of God. If it's, he orders gospel tracks, if it's to just put a track in someone's hands. And it was first we just ordered English, but now it's whatever language that comes to mind, and he's able to put a track in the hand. He sees the times that we're living in and realizes that they're urgent, and realizes that as much as going on out there, the Lord has so much better for everybody that's willing to accept. So he has accolades as long as my arm. He does. But I usually choose not to remember those things. He doesn't care about those things. Kind of like Paul said, he count those things as dung, that it's not important. It was a stepping stone to get to where the Lord would have him to be. Learning, that's all it is, and to be able to share. So I give you Earl Randall.
You are so beautiful to me.
No, I had to do that. You know, I wish Pastor Greg Smith was watching. Anyway. Well, thank y'all so much. I really appreciate the introduction. I was thinking as Pastor Greg was talking, last week he began to talk, and he was talking about what Dr. Phil, I call him Dr. Phil, Minister Phil, was going to talk about. So he started talking about some things about the path. And I was like, oh, wow. Did he see my message? No, but anyway, we're going to get a little bit deeper into what Pastor Greg had mentioned earlier about the path. But just want to thank Dad, of course, Pastor Woodrow Walker, the senior pastor of Cross Culture Church, and Sister Francine, and Pastor Greg, and my darling wife, Cheryl, and the rest of the congregation, and all those that are watching online. I really appreciate this opportunity to share with you today what I believe God has laid on my heart. So I guess I'll have all my time, right? Okay, good. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in and through those that you called, Lord God. And we know that calling is not something we take lightly, but we just know that you are moving us in the direction that you would have us to go. And Father, let these words be encouragement to those that will hear it, that they will more so achieve their God-given purpose, that which you've given them to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight's, the title of the message is Achieving a Greater Purpose. Achieving a Greater Purpose. One of the things that I think about when I think about purpose is that when I was driving over, the Lord put in my heart that so many people don't pursue their purpose because they don't know who they are. They don't know what their purpose is or why they even here. But God is the one that divinely imparts purpose to us. Amen? So when he imparts purpose to us, then now it's up to us to journey on the path that he set us on. Amen? But one of the things that I thought about today, too, is it all begins with God. All of it starts with God. I was thinking about little Oni on Sunday. She ran up to Pastor, and she wrapped her arms around him and said, "You did a good job, Papa." And so Pastor said, "Well, what did I teach about? What did I talk about?" She said, "God." So even she understands that all things begin with God, right? So all things begin with God, for sure. And at all points to God, it all points to God's purpose for our life, for a greater purpose. So let's look at Jeremiah, the first chapter, verse 5. We're familiar with this verse about Jeremiah being called. It said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you." This word sanctified means set you apart. "I ordained you a prophet to the nations." He was ordained a prophet to the nations before he was formed in his mother's womb. And that is powerful because God imparted even in God's thought, before he was formed in his mother's womb, God knew what he had called him to do. Amen. So the definition I have of purpose is something that really came up in my spirit. It's not one of these, I would say, Greek, Hebrew type definitions, but it's what I believe God would have me to tell you what purpose is tonight. So purpose is pursuing what God has ordained for you to pursue within the time frame God has given you is to pursue it. Purpose is pursuing what God has ordained for you to pursue within the time frame God has given you to pursue it. And he gives us a time frame within our lifetime to pursue what he's called us to pursue. The interesting part about when we talk about pursuing is a continuum because we never really reach that level of achieving the greatest level that we can achieve. We're constantly moving higher, or should be moving higher, in achieving our purpose. It's like Dad was talking about the other Sunday. He was talking about salvation and progressive sanctification and how we have to progress. Well, so it's a continual journey that we are on as it relates to sanctification. So I want to talk a little bit about the path to purpose. The path to purpose. Philippians 3:12, the Apostle Paul says, "Not that I have already obtained, or am I already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." God is always looking to do more in and through us than we can see at the time. He's always looking to do more. There is always a journey that lies ahead relating to purpose. Always a journey lying ahead as it relates to purpose. So what do we have to do? Therefore, we always have to stay on the journey. When we are truly transformed by being born again through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he sets what I call a spiritual transponder within our souls, within our spirit. Now, I'm going to tell y'all a little story about when I used to fly planes, right? Matter of fact, Minister Bernard Turner and I were in the same little flying group when we were teenagers. And I'm 50s, and I was doing good until I almost crashed, right? I was enjoying myself. I really was. But that's a different story. I won't talk about how I almost crashed. But Bernard and I, we talk about that sometime. But anyway, so within this Cessna, these little two-seater planes you see flying around, there is an instrument called a transponder, okay? And that transponder, the purpose of that transponder is to make sure that wherever you are supposed to go, your final destination, it is to make sure that you make it there. I want you to hear something here. So let me tell you about the transponder. The purpose of this transponder was to set your flight path. So wherever you're going, whatever airport you were going to land, there was an airport code for the airport, and you would put that destination code into the transponder. And once you take off, the transponder would keep you on the right path. Whether it's through storms, turbulence, whatever comes your way, that transponder job is to keep you on the right path. So, and it will guide you through whatever experience you experience on the flight until you reach your destination. The transponder works by receiving a signal from the final destination. To the location of where you start your journey, that signal provides information you need while on the path to get you safely to that destination. You know, a lot of pilots, I don't do this, but a lot of pilots, they ignore the transponder. They don't care about, well, I already know where I'm going and how to get there. So they don't care about using the transponder. They say, well, I've been to that place before. I know how to get there. And there's a term that within aviation, and they call it flying by the seat of your pants. Okay, I don't want y'all to get upset with me, okay? Some of us are spiritually flying by the seat of our pants, not attuned to the spiritual transponder, the Holy Spirit within us. And discarding our spiritual transponder because we figure we already know how to get there. So what happens as the plane moves off course? The transponder starts beeping, warning the pilot, you're getting off the path. You're getting off the path. We have a spiritual transponder on board who will lead and guide us on the path to achieving a greater purpose. But we have to be attuned to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us in the path that he would have us to go. And now we have to listen to the Holy Spirit and not ignore the warnings that come as the Holy Spirit gives us direction. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of destruction. I know you have my notes, but now here's the interesting part about flying too, is that there are different levels or ratings within flying. And I guess you said, why am I talking about flying? Because it really is interesting, the parallels, right, of the natural as it regards to the spiritual. So in flying, there's different ratings. You have a VFR rating, which is called visual flight regulations, or a visual flight rating. And then you have an IFR rating, which is called an instrument flight regulation, or a instrument flight rating. So, see, if you only have a VFR, visual flight rating, when storms and clouds or darkness set in, you are grounded. You're grounded. You're paralyzed. Even though you are a pilot and called to fly, I want you to hear this. Even though you're a pilot and called to fly, but your flying rating only allows you to fly based on what you can see. Only what you can see. Some of us are not embracing or achieving our greater purpose because when the storms of life come, we ground ourselves or are paralyzed as it relates to our purpose because we base our flight path to achieving a greater purpose only on what we can see at the time. Only on what we can see at the time. But God is calling us to a higher level, a higher rating. He's calling us to a IFR rating, where we are able to keep flying toward our what? Toward achieving our purpose. Why? Because regardless of the storms of life, because we are being led by the spiritual transponder, the Holy Spirit, who helps us through the storms of life to achieving a greater purpose. And that's the real blessing of the Holy Spirit. Once we are attuned to the leading of the Holy Spirit, we now are postured to receive instructions necessary to achieve a greater purpose. Our path may be similar to other believers, but at the same time, there is a uniqueness to each of our paths, a path that has been laid out for us by God. Many times, as saints of God, we ask the question, why, Lord, are you putting me on this path? And a lot of times, it's not easy to be on a particular path that God has set. And some things that may happen along the way may be discouraging to you. For example, there may be some things that happen where you have to suffer on the path. A lot of times we come to the Lord and we feel like everything is going to work out the way it should work out because now we're in the kingdom. But there's things that happen that we go through that prepares us to go even higher in what God is calling us to. This path can even lead to suffering, which is also related to achieving a greater purpose. The suffering can sometimes, what we call theologically, is sanctified suffering or godly suffering. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that and give you some keys to different aspects of godly suffering. One of the keys to our aspect of godly suffering as to why godly suffering and how it affects us and what it does as it relates to getting us where God wants us to be is character development. Godly suffering brings about character development. Suffering can seem be a way of God refining us and developing our character. When we look at James 1, verse 2 through 4, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that what? Knowing something, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its what? Perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." You have to let patience do something. Let patience have its perfect work. And even in the suffering that may occur, our character, I remember a preacher said something once before I heard. He said, character is not developed in private. Character is not developed in private. It's developed in the public light. So, God wants to develop our character so that we can achieve what God would have us to achieve. The other thing is identifying with Christ. That's another reason that godly suffering takes place in the life of the believer. Suffering can be a way to identify with the sufferings of Christ. We look at Philippians 3:10. It says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. A lot of times we want to get to know him, but we don't want to know his suffering. We want to get closer. We're saying, Lord, bring me closer to you. Well, when you pray that, you're saying, I want to identify with the Lord in all aspects. So understand that identifying with Christ is identifying with Christ's suffering. It goes on to say that I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. A lot of times, suffering will bring us to die to ourselves. Suffering will bring us to a place of where now we're dying to ourselves and Christ is becoming even more alive within us. Spiritual growth and maturity is also a result of godly suffering. Suffering can lead to spiritual growth and maturity. Romans 3 through 5. Romans 3 through 5. I have a bottle of water right there. Romans 3 through 5. Romans 3 through 5. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Romans 3 through 5. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces what? Perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So when we look at the fact that perseverance does produce character and character hope, one of the things we have to look at is the fact that when we come to a place of understanding the fact that for us to get to where God wants us to be, that we must come to a place of knowing that we're going to go through some things. We're going to go through some things on the journey to achieving a greater purpose. Amen. Comforting others. Those who have gone through suffering are often in a unique position to comfort and support others who are going through a similar experience. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 through 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and Father of mercy and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted. So many times, I know I look at people and I say, well, how can I relate to them to bring them to a place of really seeing the Lord? I share my experience of how God saved me with them, but there are some things that people may go through that I'm not really familiar with, in the sense that I've never gone through those things. But the things that I have gone through, those that I come in contact with who are experiencing the same challenges, now I'm able to talk to them in a way that I would not have been able to talk to them before, because now I have a personal experience with what they're going through. The other one is to glorify God. I know this is difficult sometimes to think of, but God getting glory out of the fact that maybe we have gone through some things. Ultimately, the purpose of all things, including suffering, is to bring glory to God. Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." There's something that God is going to do within us, even through the sufferings that we deal with. God is doing something even through the suffering. It's important also to note that while suffering, you can have a purpose in the Christian faith. It's also essential for us to understand that we don't glory in our suffering. We don't glory in our suffering, but rather about understanding its role in the larger context of God's redemptive plan. Its role in the larger context of God's redemptive plan, so that now we can grow in the things of God. I know you have an outline, and I know I'm looking at the time, but I believe I can still get through what I want to get through, because I think it's important that you get a practical understanding. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the obstacles on the road to purpose. The obstacles on the road to purpose. There are times when we're going to face obstacles as we move toward purpose. No doubt the obstacles are going to come, but God is working even through the obstacles. Understand, God is working through all the things that may be hindering us from moving in the direction that he would have us to move in. And we know that all things work together. This is Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for the good to those who what? Who love God, to those who are what? Called according to what? His purpose. So we know that whatever working within us is working out for our good. It's hard to see things working out for our good at the time, but it is working out for our good. Obstacles to God's divine purpose can arise when various sources, both external and internal. So a lot of times we don't understand that obstacles can come in different forms. It can come even to some people that may be close to us as it relates to our purpose. And I know Dad was talking about spiritual warfare this past Sunday. And spiritual warfare, what that means is you are not willing to accept the obstacles. You're not willing to accept the obstacles that are trying to keep you from achieving a greater purpose. That's what spiritual warfare comes in. It's important that we understand that we, wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness in high places. And wicked, spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. So when we look at this, we understand that some common obstacles that may occur within our pursuit of God, within our pursuit of achieving a greater purpose, some common obstacles, number one, distractions. Distractions is the number one obstacle that we will face in the business pursuing our purpose. The busyness and the noise of daily life can distract us from focusing on God's purpose for us. We can become preoccupied with worldly concerns. Many times we become preoccupied with worldly concerns, with our own personal ambitions, which can divert our attention from our divine purpose. Many times I know I can become distracted. That's why I get on Netflix, and if I see something says it's a series, I don't click on it. I don't click on it because I already know what's going to happen. I already know that once I click on that, it's got about 7 or 8 episodes, and it's got about 4 or 5 seasons, and before I know it, every night I'm waiting to get home so that I can watch these different episodes and different series. So I look for the ones that only have hours, or you know, it's 1.5 hours. There's no series involved. So it's important that we understand these distractions as an obstacle to achieving a greater purpose. Fear and doubt. Fear of failure, rejection, or things that are stepping out, you know, that prevent us from stepping out in faith and purpose. These things prevent us from stepping out in faith and purpose. Doubt in our ability or God's plan can also prevent us from fulfilling or pursuing a divine purpose. So a lot of times we don't understand or we have doubts about what we're called to do. Lack of direction. Sometimes we may know what our divine purpose is and try to pursue it, but we're not organized. We're not organized in how we are to pursue the divine purpose that he has for us. Resistance from others. Sometimes those around us may not understand or support our pursuit of God's purpose. They may discourage us or even actively oppose us, which we have to be able to overcome those things. We can't allow that to discourage us from what God is calling us to. Now, we know that sin and temptation definitely can hinder us or hinder our ability to follow his purpose. Temptation can lead to us straying away from the priorities and desires of God's will for our lives. I'm looking at the time. A lack of faith in God's power, goodness, and faithfulness can prevent us from trusting him or stepping out in obedience to him. Past hurts and traumas, that's a big one. You know, a lot of times we get discouraged because someone hurt us. Even within the church, we come across situations and circumstances where we could be hurt and leads us to doubt and feel, not here. Definitely not here. Physical and emotional limitations can hinder us from fully pursuing it, including health issues, health challenges. But in all of it is still working together for the good of those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. So now, how do we get to the place of overcoming these obstacles? That's really the important thing, too, to look at. How do we get to the place, or how do we overcome these obstacles? Overcoming these obstacles, number one, wow, that was interesting. Overcoming these obstacles, number one, requires a willingness to surrender, first of all, your will to his will. You have to surrender. His guidance and strength, and through prayer, seeking wise counsel and relying on the power, what, of the Holy Spirit to help us to overcome it. So when we look at the number one thing that we face, which is we face distractions, I think it's important that I talk about, within the time I have, I talk about overcoming those distractions. Because I believe if we can overcome the distractions in life that keeps us from, and I'm not trying to point the finger at anyone or anything, but sometimes there are things that keep us from coming and being a part of the assembly. There are things that keep us from being able to fit within our schedules those things that God would have us to do for the spiritual growth of ourselves. I'm in the health care field, and a lot of times we talk about self-care. And a lot of times as believers, we may demonstrate self-care from a physical standpoint. We may try hard to take care of ourselves physically, but we don't demonstrate self-care as much as it relates to the spiritual aspect of our lives, and which is the most important. But anyway, as we look at this briefly, overcoming distractions to achieve a greater purpose. Overcoming distraction to achieve a greater purpose can be challenging, but we can do it. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which can easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy, I want you to hear this, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Wow. So when we think about the fact that we can overcome, why? Because Jesus overcame. We can overcome because Jesus overcame. And so these are some practical approaches to overcoming distractions. Clarify your purpose. Clarify your purpose. The first step is to have a clear understanding of your divine purpose. I believe it was Elder Robert Boyd who taught a class on what was spiritual gifts. And I can't remember the title of it, but it was about finding your spiritual gift or locating your spiritual gift. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in prayer and meditation on the Word of God to gain what? Clarity on what you believe your purpose to be, okay? Some people say write it down. Write it down. Write the vision. Make it plain so that you can run with it. Set priorities. Once you clarify your purpose, you need to set priorities for those tasks that you need to deal with to take place. Create a routine. When I say a routine, I'm not talking about you have to be so structured. I believe you were talking about that the other week, where you have to be so structured that you have to, you know, it's 5 o'clock. Oh, no, I know I got to run over here. I need to go. Let me get on my knees. You know, I need to pray. So not when I say routine, not so structured that you have everything mechanically set, but you have an understanding of the importance of times of prayer and meditation within the Word. Minimizing distractions, we talked about that earlier. Again, I try not to get on TikTok because I already know what's going to happen. So I don't even try that. But yeah, it's important that we try to minimize distractions. This may mean setting boundaries even as it relates to activities, pulling away from things that may have captured your attention, limiting our exposure to things on television and so forth, because it's important that we understand and be disciplined in certain areas. I look at the word disciple. Within the word disciple, there's discipline. It's discipline, and that's important. Stay connected. I talked about that before. Surround yourself with people of like precious faith, you know, knowing that iron sharpens iron, right? And also, it's important to be a part of joining a church assembly and assembling with that assembly. And if you look at participating also in small groups, we have small groups here at Cross Culture Church, as well as spiritual growth classes. All that can be found right here within Cross Culture Church. Seek guidance. If you are struggling with issues, if you're struggling even with temptation, seek guidance and counsel. Don't allow the enemy to continue to wreak havoc in your life. Search out guidance, even from your spiritual leadership or fellow believers, as it relates to being able to share what's going on with you. So many of us, we keep things within ourselves until it festers to the point where now we are ineffective completely, instead of sharing it and being able to address those issues within us. And a lot of times it starts with introspection, looking within ourselves and identifying areas in our life that we know that we need to deal with some things. So remember, overcoming distractions to divine purpose is an ongoing process. None of this happens just one time and it's done. You have to continually work at this to understand the fact that God has a purpose and he wants you to achieve that purpose. Restoration, and I'm almost coming to the end. Restoration of purpose. I want to talk a little bit about this because a lot of times when we think about restoration, we think about the fact that we had fallen into sin and we are being restored because we have repented, and now God restores us back to our place in Him, right? So when we look at that, we think about that part of restoration. But there's also restoration as it relates to when we have gone off the path of purpose, not necessarily falling into sin. It's a sin of omission, but not a sin of commission. And once we understand that we're falling away from where God would, the path that God would have us on, so now we need to be restored. The prodigal son is a parable found in Luke 15, verse 11 through 32. And in this parable, it's the story of Jesus gives this illustration. And the illustration is basically showing the love that God has for us as our Father, right? And as he gives this illustration, he talks about restoration within the illustration. So instead of the father rebuking or being hard on the son who had strayed away, the father welcomed the son with open arms, which indicates that our Father, our Heavenly Father, will welcome us with open arms if we are off the path that we need to be on. So within this parable of restoration, I just want to share with you the areas of restoration that represents or is presented within this parable. First is the restoration of relationship. The father's love for his son is evident in his willingness to forgive him and to restore their relationship. Despite the son's mistakes, the father welcomes him back without hesitation. Two, restoration of identity. The son return home is a recognition of his true identity as a beloved son. Rather than a hired servant, because remember he said, I would come back as a hired servant, but he restored him to his rightful place. Restoration of purpose. The father response demonstrated that he believed in his son's potential and purpose. I want to say that again. His response demonstrated that he believed in his son's potential and purpose. He doesn't dwell on the past mistake, but focus on the future and the son's potential to grow and to change. And I tell you, God is so good as it relates to us in that area. He is so good as it relates to us in that area. So when we think about it, when we think about purpose and this story, I believe it's verse 22 where it says, but the father said to the servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. That indicated restoration of purpose. Restoration of purpose. Overall, the story of the prodigal son illustrates God's grace and willingness to restore us. No matter how far we travel off the path or stray away, it emphasized the importance of repentance, forgiveness, and the joy of reconciliation. No matter what you have done, your Heavenly Father wants to restore back to his purpose, your life as a believer. So when we look at all that we've talked about, when we look at the fact that all of this relates to going back to God, or it all begins with God. And then now, even in our purpose, once we fulfill our time here, it all ends with God. And the number one thing that we can understand as believers is that God forgives us. He forgives us. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And the blood of Jesus, I'm sorry, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I am in a place where I realize more and more that I need the Lord to keep me. We live in a dangerous time where society is just basically gone crazy to some extent. But these are not times that should be strange to us, because the Bible talks about these times. Many times we look at and we see things happening in the world and we try to imagine, well, that's happening over there, but it's not really affecting me. But it's affecting all of us, what's going on in the world. But when you look at everything that's happening, the bottom line is this, and I'm going to close with this. The bottom line is this. We need the Lord. Every person within the sound of my voice, every person wherever they are right now needs the Lord. The Lord to intervene in our lives. The Lord, he wants to bring us to a place in him where all things that he's called us to do, that we will achieve. From the time that we have here, he wants us to accomplish those things that he has called us to do. He has called us to achieve a greater purpose in him. So when we look at moving in that direction, we look at the path that's set before us. The path is to a greater purpose. If you're on the path and you feel like giving up, I want you to know Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I notice it says your labor in the Lord. That which the Lord has already ordained for you to do. It may be someone listening even tonight, whether you're in the sanctuary or on live stream, and you may have come to that place where you feel as though you want to just throw in the towel, you know. A lot of times when we talk about purpose, we come to a place where we just want to survive. We're not trying to achieve anything. We just want to survive. But God is saying he's bringing us, he wants to bring us to a higher level than that. So even if you're in that spot where you say, I'm about to give up, or you're in that spot where you say, I'm just surviving, tonight is your night. I believe God is speaking to you, and he wants to help you to, number one, if you haven't received him, to come to him. It all starts with a decision, making a decision for Christ. I said earlier that the number one thing that we may go through Christ is the answer to that. If you don't know who you are, if you don't know where you're going, if you don't know how to get there, Christ is the answer to that. He knows, he understands your struggle because he identifies with the things that we go through each and every day. But I'm here to talk to those that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, you're not going to really fulfill life the way life should be fulfilled. You're going to find yourself being empty inside. Is that God-shaped void within your life that you're dealing with. But God has a purpose. I've been talking about purpose tonight. God has a purpose for your life. He knows what that purpose is. But once you come into relationship, right relationship with the Lord, and I know most of you in here know the Lord. I'm speaking to those online and those that will see this recording. If you get to know the Lord of your creation, you'll find your purpose. And once you come to that place, he can begin to work within your life and you will find that fulfillment. So if that's you tonight and you're online, I want you to put into the chat that you are wanting to surrender your heart to Jesus Christ tonight so that you can fulfill that purpose that he's created you for. You can fulfill the things that God has birthed you into this world to achieve. If you're saying, well, I know that God created me for a purpose, and I know that the Lord wants me to fulfill that purpose, but I've come to a place where the path you were talking about, I've veered off that path, and I want to get back on the path because I know that the Lord will fulfill everything that he wants to fulfill in me. So tonight's your night too. It comes with a decision. The Lord is not going to force us on a path, but when we surrender and say, Lord, I missed it. 1 John 1:9, restoration. He wants to restore you back to the path so that now you can complete your assignment in him.